Well, good morning. My name is Mike, and welcome to Trinity this Christ the King Sunday. In the church calendar, Christ the King is the feast, is the last feast day, the last Sunday before Advent. And it's the day we celebrate. Anyone want to guess? Jesus is King! Y'all are a bright bunch. And then in Advent, we celebrate, remember, yearn for the King who has come and has promised to come again. It's hard to believe that next week is Advent already, but it is. For today, well, this is our 13th week in the Sermon on the Mount, and we've finally reached the finish line. We've made it. Jesus' longest recording, uninterrupted teaching in the Bible, three whole chapters of the Gospel according to Matthew. So if you have a Bible, I'd like to invite you to open it to Matthew chapter 7 for one last time, at least for a while. If you don't have a Bible, please don't hesitate to hop up, run to the back, and grab one. You can find Matthew 7 on page 762 in the church Bibles. A reminder for kids, if you're staying in here during the sermon, feel free to grab a notebook from the back if you don't have one, or grab your notebook from the back. If you take notes, we will happily reward you with candy after church. A little shameless bribery. Smart move, Asher. The Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' description of a disciple. It's what it looks like to follow Jesus. Growing up in Christ, this image is what we're growing up towards and into. If you remember 13 or 12 weeks ago, Jesus starts by casting the net wide to the unexpected, the broken, the beaten down and hurting. This is what he says. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." 2,000 years ago, just as today, it wasn't super popular to be poor in spirit, or to be meek, or to be a peacemaker. And yet Jesus invites the unexpected. The broken, the beating down, the hurting, he says, "My kingdom is for you." He starts by casting the net wide. And then he begins to teach. We spent weeks in these teachings. You have heard it said. You remember this pattern? Jesus would start, "You've heard it said, but I say to you, live like this." It's a description of what it looks like to live in right relationship with God and with others. How to treat others, how to practice the spiritual practices that grow intimacy with God. Spiritual practices that teach us how to tend to our interior lives. How to deal with our fears and our anxieties so that we might live lives of peace with God and with others. And then finally, he comes to what preachers often call the close. Salespeople often call the close, right? So in preaching, you've got your little introduction. That's what we're doing right now. You've got your body, where hopefully a good preacher is going to teach you about the scriptures a bit. And then it's leading you to the close, right? Some sort of application or declaration. Something to apply to your lives, to walk away with. And Jesus did this too. The Beatitudes are his introduction, where he sets the stage. The middle teaching. This is where he unpacks and interprets the scriptures for his listeners, and then the close, a choice, a decision. First, we saw 2 weeks ago a choice to walk the narrow way of Jesus or the wide way of the world. Second, we saw this last week, a warning, that there would be those who would seek to pull you from the narrow way into the wide way. And then third and finally, one last warning and one last choice. Before we dive in and talk about it, let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for this morning, for the chance to be here together to worship. And I pray now that as my words line up with your words, that they would fall on ears and hearts ready to receive them and respond. And God, I pray that if I say anything that isn't from you, that those words would quickly be forgotten. And I pray all these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This last teaching, this last choice, this last application tells the story of a wise and a foolish builder. They each build houses, one on a deep foundation of rock, one on sand, which is fine until a storm comes. Then, if you build a house on sand, this is what happens. We get it to work, a little video. Amazing how many people vacation on a little strip of sand where thousands of people have built houses literally on sand and then act surprised when the house on sand crumbles. That was like 3 weeks ago on the Outer Banks. How many of you have been to the Outer Banks? This is Northern Virginia, right? Like every third car has got a little OBX magnet on it. Something like five houses in the last 6 weeks have collapsed in the Outer Banks because the houses on the Outer Banks, what were they built on? Sand, right? Now, when many of them were built, there was a lot more sand and they figured it'd probably be okay, but it's not a firm foundation. It's sand, and that's what happens. Oof. Your vacation home, just like that, gone. Okay, here's another image. This image has lived rent-free in my head for, I think, 3 years now since I saw it used in another sermon. I snapped a shot of the picture up on the projector, much like this. And it's lived in my notes app as a reminder ever since. I remember who was preaching the sermon. It was Priscilla Shirer. I don't remember anything else she said. But I remember this picture. I remember she asked a question. I do remember that. Because it's a question that has lived in my head along with this picture. The question, what does it take to be that guy? And then a commitment that goes with it. I want to be that guy. You can leave that up. This is what Jesus is talking about. And it's actually not that complicated. If you look at verse 24 in your Bible, we're going to read it again real quick. Jesus says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." It's tempting for any preacher to try to nuance a teaching like this. And as I was doing my study, I went down all sorts of interesting rabbit holes, storms in the Old Testament. We could connect this to Noah. We could to Jonah, storms in the New Testament. Jesus, he spent some time on a boat in storms. He calmed one storm. He walked on water during another storm. We could spend 15 minutes talking about storms. It's tempting. All sorts of little rabbit holes. And sometimes Jesus teaches with plenty of nuance. Oftentimes, Jesus speaks in riddles, parables that invite further conversation, further questions. He does it on purpose because he wants his listeners to ask follow-up conversations and questions. But this is not one of them. And so I thought about a 25 or 30 minute sermon and all those little rabbit holes, but Jesus didn't do that here. And so it felt unwise for me to do it. Jesus is saying this. Y'all have heard what I've had to say about how to live. I've been describing it now for quite some time. So here's the question before you. Are you going to hear it and ignore it? Or are you going to hear it and do it. Are you going to hear it and ignore it, or hear it and do it? Now, I'm sure none of the kids here this morning ever do this, but I know I did when I was a kid. My dad's right over there can probably testify to this. My mom would ask me to do something, and I'd pretend I didn't hear her. And she'd ask me to do something again, and I'd pretend I didn't hear her. And then she'd ask a third time, her voice maybe elevated a little bit, and I'd pretend I didn't hear her. And then finally, Michael! She knew I heard her that time. I'd pretend I was busy doing something else. So finally she yelled. I'd carry on with what I was doing because I couldn't be bothered. I wanted to continue to do what I was doing. Like, Mom, don't interrupt me right now. I'm really busy doing something that's really not that important. None of you kids can relate, right? You never do this. I'd hear the big yell, and then I'd innocently say, oh, yes, Mom, were you talking to me? Do you need something? It's only after the big yell. She knew I heard her the first time. She definitely knew I heard her the second time. But I didn't want to do what she was asking because I wanted to keep doing my own thing. And so I pretended like I never heard her. Like she never asked me in the first place. And oh, are we like this with Jesus? He's been telling us how to live. He's been showing us how to live. We've heard it. The crowd gathered around for the Sermon on the Mount has heard it. He's even repeated himself, coming at the same sorts of things, the same sorts of instructions from different angles for 3 chapters now. And he's gotten to the end, and he's crystal clear. He's looking the crowd in the eye. You've heard me say this. Are you actually going to do it? This parable with the 2 houses is Jesus's, Michael! It's a question for us this morning. You've heard, will you obey? Look at what the 2 builders have in common. Verse 24 tells us that the wise builder hears the words of Jesus. Verse 26 tells us that the foolish builder also hears the words of Jesus. He hears them. She hears them. The difference between the two? Well, what's the difference between the two? What does the text say? The wise man puts them into practice. The wise man hears and obeys. The foolish man hears and then goes his own way. Decides not to do it. La, 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 I didn't hear you, Mom. Just going to keep doing my thing. And so when a storm comes, which it inevitably does, it always does, the wise man finds himself on a firm foundation. After all, he's heard and obeyed the very Son of God, the High King of Heaven. He's been walking with him on the narrow path. He's listened and he's obeyed. He's put faith into practice, which is what faith actually looks like. Meanwhile, the foolish man finds himself washed away. He's heard the words of Jesus, but he never followed him. He'd also built a house, built a life, never put it into practice. And so, while it appeared he had a house, just like the wise man, they both have houses, under the pressure of the storm, his house fell apart as quickly as an Outer Banks beach house. It's the storm that reveals the foundation. It's the storm that reveals the foundation. It's the storm that reveals if you've actually been walking with Jesus, if you've actually been following him, or just listening, kind of, in the background, and then going on with your life. As for me, oh gosh, I want to be that guy, that one house. Kind that listens and obeys. And I must confess, I'm not always very good at it. Oftentimes it takes the yell, the Holy Spirit, Michael, for me to hear and obey. But oh, I want to be that kind of person who listens and obeys, that hears the words of Jesus and does them, and in doing so builds a life that will stand the test of time despite the storms. I told you I was going to be shorter, I meant it. So one final thought. This way of living, I did follow one rabbit hole. This way of living, it's not just for you and for me. After Jesus has been crucified and then raised to life on the third day, Jesus gives his disciples final instructions. You probably know these words if you grew up in the church. Many of you. What did Jesus say? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. These are some of the most famous words in the entire New Testament. We call them the Great Commission. Do you know the second part? A lot of times we stop right there. The second part to Jesus' final words, they're actually his final words. Those words, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, those actually aren't Jesus' final words. That's part A of his final words. Do you remember part two? Part B? And teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The Sermon on the Mount paints a picture of what it looks like to follow Jesus, to be a disciple. What to do and how to do it. Jesus cares about both of those things, what to do and how to do it. And then, in the end, Jesus' final instructions are to teach others to do the same. To obey everything that Jesus has commanded, to bring others along with us into the way of life. And in doing so, helping them build a house on a firm foundation. And Jesus gives us his Holy Spirit to empower us that we might do that. Go and find people who are walking the wide path that leads to destruction. Fishing for them. This is the metaphor Jesus uses. Pulling them. Walking with them into the narrow path. Pointing to Jesus. And then inviting them to hear the words of Jesus and obey. The Sermon on the Mount ends with an invitation, with a challenge to put Jesus' teachings into practice in our lives. That's how the Sermon on the Mount ends. The Gospel of Matthew ends with an invitation, a challenge to teach others to do the same. The way of Jesus, the way he's been teaching us to walk together, it's not just for us, but it's meant to be shared. It's a way that's meant to be walked with each other for the sake of others. That end commandment, go therefore and make disciples, that's a y'all. It's a second person imperative. You, we, y'all are meant to walk this way together for the sake of others, teaching them to know Jesus, to hear his words, to follow Jesus, and to obey him. It's my prayer that we would grow to be the sort of church that's deeply committed to learning to walk in the way of Jesus together and inviting others to walk this way with us. Will you stand and pray with me? Gracious God, thank you for this picture you've painted of what it means to grow in the image and likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ, to grow up in him. And I pray, God, by your Holy Spirit, that you would form us to be these sorts of people, the sort who listen and obey. Oh, and would you form us to be the sort of people, the sort of church, who teach others to do the same. We pray all these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord.